And this morning, I want to deal with something that people claim is happening in our society, and it is a real thing. It is a real thing, especially among younger people, but truth is it happens to people of all ages, and it's something that perhaps you'll become more and more acquainted with, and I hope that this morning, this Sunday school lesson will spark you to, first of all, think in your own heart about where you're at. So often, isn't it a lot easier to be concerned about everybody else but yourself? You look around and sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror. And I think it's important in this subject that I'm going to speak on this morning for you to see where your heart is at right now. Before you worry about looking at anybody else and helping anybody else, although I will tell you, I do hope this message will help you as you minister to other people that may be dealing with the very same thing that I'm talking to you about this morning. But I want you to look with me in John chapter 6, and of all Scripture references, verse 66. How about that? The number of man, 666. John chapter 6, and in verse number 66, the Bible says that from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. You know, many times we hear about the successes, and we should continue to, but did you know that even Jesus Himself had people that followed Him, and then they turned away? There's a common term, or there's a more popular term that you hear to describe this. I'll use the 50-cent word to start with, but I'll probably depart from it just to put it plain on the level with all of us. But it's the word deconstruction. You hear stories. By the way, if you want to be popular, get a YouTube channel and say crazy stuff, and you can get a following. But people will get on and they will share what they call their deconstruction story. And the chances are there are some of you here that have met people that said, "Yep, I used to follow the Lord, but I'll tell you, those days are gone. I have deconstructed." And if you haven't heard that, just live a little bit longer. And it's something, especially there are teenagers that sometimes they get out from under mom and dad and all of the supposed oppression that they have experienced. And with victory, they say, "I've deconstructed." There are other people that are sitting in our pews, those thoughts are going through their minds, but they're not telling anyone. I mean, after all, why would you want to tell people that you're thinking about just walking away from the Lord in an environment where you've been raised, where people tell you to walk with the Lord? But it's something that we hear more and more of, it's publicized, and it actually has hit in several ways that are really close to the younger population. Let me give you an example. My son and I, years ago, we listened to these two men. They were YouTubers that would have a program that would just do silly stuff. Silly stuff, and it was clean, innocent, silly stuff. And they would have, sometimes their followers would send them letters or send them things that were funny items. And, they would pull the funniest of those items out and they would share them. And, it was just good, clean, hilarious fun. And I will never forget the day that I was watching the show and they said, "We have a letter from a boy in North Carolina," and they called the name of my son. And unbeknowing to me, that he had sent in an item that we had won. Have you ever been in one of those white elephant deals at Christmas, or those bad gift exchanges where people have good ones and people have bad ones? We were in Blairsville, Georgia, and my son, he was so ecstatic. And there is no other place that you could ever get such an item as this. He got a box of dried squirrel tails. That was the gift that he won, and he was ecstatic about it. What do you do with dried squirrel tails? I'll tell you what you do. You send them in to people to get attention, and that's what he did. And I'm watching this. They call my son by name, and they say, and we have a box of squirrel tails. I mean, it was this kind of stuff that drew people's attention from everywhere. They were like, you know, this was just, it was crazy. But it would be just a few years later that those same two men who in their program would profess that they were Christians and even talk about taking missions trips, one day would stand up on that YouTube channel with a large teenage following of impressionable young people, many of them raised in church, and in a two-hour program say, we're walking away from it all. How devastating do you think that is, or how altering do you think that is with young men and young women who tuned into that thing religiously for years? All of a sudden, to have a trusted, notable person in their lives tell them, hey, we're walking away from the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that there are people today that see such things, and we're hearing about it seemingly more and more. But here's the thing that I want to press upon you before I talk about that subject, and it's this. Deconstruction is not new. Why? Because people have been walking away from the Lord for 2,000 years. Some people say, well, it's really a new phenomenon, or maybe there's just a lot of things different about the environment that I'm in, and people are weirder and weirder. No, in John chapter 6 and verse 66, there were people that followed Jesus that walked away. The Apostle Paul experienced that himself in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10 when the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul knew what it was like for somebody to be in a church, to be raised in a good home, not a perfect home. There's not a home in here that's perfect. And let me tell you something, teenager, when you leave this place, your home's not going to be perfect either. And the reason why is because you're in it and you're not perfect. But you know, people leave and they come to a point and they say, you know, I'm just heading out. But that's happened for 2,000 years. It's not anything that's new. But I will tell you this, the publicizing of it and the promotion of it is very powerful. And so before I even begin this morning, I want to ask you, where are you at in your faith? I would love to tell you that every teenager that's passed through this church has left and gone and lived for the Lord, but that's not the case. I'd love to tell you that every student at Ambassador, that'd be great to have a 100% success rate, wouldn't it? That'd be something great to advertise, but I cannot do it. Why? Because there are some people, for a variety of reasons, that walk away from faith. I could say it this way, they walk away from Jesus. And so this morning, I just want to share with you a few reasons of why I believe that people leave the faith in the instances that I've talked to people, why they did what the disciples did, not the 12 disciples, but the disciples speaking in a general, broader way. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. So let me share several reasons why people leave the faith. Number one is because their mom and dad's faith never became their own. Why is it that some people walk away from the Lord? Because they never had the faith that their mom and dad had in Jesus Christ. It was an acquired habit. It's just what we always did. But there was never something in their heart that transpired where they were convicted of their sin, where they saw Jesus on the cross in an empty tomb, and they played, but they never truly accepted Christ. You know, this afternoon there'll be a lot of people that will tune in to football games. And you know, in football you can't score unless you have the ball, right? Did you know there are people on defense that score? There are people on offense. Most likely it's offense that scores. But they all have something in common. They have the ball. There's no touchdown without the ball. All right, listen to what the Bible says. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know what it is? It's a matter of possession. Not pretense, but possession. And I believe that there are some people, they walk away from it all. Why? Because it was something that was never true to them to start with. I'm not saying everyone, but that is why some people do what they do. And all of us would do well, listen, all of us would do well to examine our hearts. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Listen to me. If you're here and you're floundering when it comes to this matter of faith, the very first foundational question is do you have it to begin with? And you know, I've talked to some people and they were pretty bold. And they said, you know what, that was just something that I just did. And you know, I never really believed that. And that causes some people to walk away. But number two, why do some people walk away? Because they want to live for themselves. It's that simple. Why do some people just say, you know, I'm going to tell you what, this church thing and this Jesus thing, you know, it's just a little bit overbearing. It's because sometimes they just want to live for themselves. And Jesus spoke very directly about that to His disciples. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Jesus said, listen, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, you have to say no to yourself. You have to deny yourself. But when you want to live in the world, you're in a dilemma. You know what? I've watched that dilemma where there are some people, they could only live conflicted so long. They could only sit in a pew for so long to try to garner the respect of everybody else around them, but eventually the love for the world and the love for self won out and off they went. One of the greatest crossroads of my life was when I was 15 years old and God brought me to the point, are you going to live for yourself or are you going to live for me? Without a doubt, outside of my salvation, at that moment of my life when it came to the head of are you going to live for yourself or are you going to live for me, I'm going to tell you that was a major crossroads. And folks, I want you to understand, there are people that sit in our pews every week in our churches that are at crossroads. They're one decision away from success. They're one decision away from failure. And you may be at a crossroads this morning. You know that you need to deny yourself. You need to say no to yourself and yes to God. Here's the ironic thing. We're very good at saying no to the people we shouldn't say no to, and we're very good at saying yes to the people we shouldn't say yes to. You know, there's something inside of me that likes to tell authority no. And there's a part of me that likes to tell the things that I shouldn't do. Yes, Paul admitted that in the book of Romans. But Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross. This week on TV, I saw a picture of a widow that was holding a cross in her hand. It was Mrs. Kirk. And the media obviously honed in on that. Why? Because the cross is like It's like the symbol of Christianity, is it not? But ladies and gentlemen, taking up your cross, and I, by the way, I'm not saying that this is just merely what this lady was doing. She's been through a tremendous week, and she's a traumatic week, and she's, you know, given her speech and all kinds of things. But let me tell you something, taking up your cross is more than wearing it on your shirt or wearing it on your neck. It's wearing it in your life. And some people walk away because they don't want to be marked by Jesus. The one who died on the cross for you, the one who gave you more than you could ever imagine. They don't want that identification. Instead of saying, take the world, give me Jesus, they said, take Jesus and give me the world. But I want to tell you, the world's a cruel taskmaster. The world will take you and ruin you. It'll take everything virtuous about you, squeeze it out of you, and leave you with nothing. That's the world. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ takes you when you are beaten and you are battered and you are torn by the world, and He heals you. That's the difference. Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But some people walk away because they don't want to be identified with him. You know another reason people walk away? Because they've let the hurt and hypocrisy of believers turn them from the truth. Some people walk away because they have let the hurt and hypocrisy of professing believers turn them away. Times you may talk to an individual, they say, yeah, I used to go to church, but I feel like they're all filled with hypocrites. Some will not go as far as making that big of a generalization, but they'll say this. They'll say, well, you know, I'll tell you, I was in a church years ago, and this man did something to me. And, you know, I had this experience with a preacher, and so I just walked away. I just said, you know what, I just don't want anything to do with that. Let me address the elephant in the room for just a second. Is there ever any hurt or hypocrisy in a church? Yes. Is there ever any hurt or hypocrisy in your home? Yes. So before I go any farther, can I just get that out of the room? Now, you might retort and say, but a church is a place where it ought not to be, and I would say, you're right. You are exactly right. But you know what I'm learning, ladies and gentlemen? The only place where I'm going to go where everybody is perfect and like Jesus is heaven, in every sense of the word. But yes, as Christians, we're to strive to be like Jesus. And in the church, yes, it ought to be populated with people who have a fervent heart and want to follow the Lord, but they're not perfect. And I've met some people and they say, well, Alton, I'll tell you what, I don't go to church anymore because there was something that happened in that church. Boy, it was bad. These people messed up and I didn't want anything. Listen, if that's you, can I give you a Bible example of a man who loved a church and served in a church and helped a church that had some major problems in it and didn't abandon it? You know, if there was any book of the Bible that I never wanted written to me, it was 1 Corinthians. You know, there's some books of the Bible I come to, you know, and I'm like, man, the book of Psalms, God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I'm telling you, that's like a soothing ointment. But when I read 1 Corinthians and I see what Paul's saying to those believers, that was like when I was a kid, whenever I heard the belt straps. Whenever I knew it was bad, I was like, okay, that's Paul wears them out. And you know what? Time and time again, Paul tells them about sin in the church. They had this popularity contest going on in the church. You say, yes, 2,000 years ago, there was a popular, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And then the really spiritual one said, I'm of Jesus. That was a popularity contest. And you know what Paul said? You're carnal. You're fleshly. Can you imagine in this church if there were two people suing each other in a court of law? Could you imagine Brother Stone and Brother Scoville at odds? And the next thing you know, you see them on the people's court with vengeance, raising their fists at each other. I just saw the other day where there was one judge, he was like 80-some years old, died with pancreatic cancer. He had one of those reality judge shows, but he would sometimes show kindness to people, and he was a real hit. You know, if you had that going on in the church, you'd say, my stars, I wouldn't have any part of that. And how about just go a step farther where there's immorality that's taking place in the church, it's tolerated in the church, and it's incestuous in nature? Now, I think all of us would be like, brother, I'm going to tell you what, now that ain't a Christ-like church. And I'd say, you know what, you're right, it's not. But instead of Paul saying, you know what, I tell you what, I'm just going to forget about God because all I'm doing is focusing on the imperfections of men. And if that's the way the men are going to act, then I'm going to turn my back on God. That's one of the most foolish things you'll ever do. Because you know what you're doing? You're assigning the sinfulness of those men to a holy God. They're supposed to be following Him, but they're not. But you know what? Paul didn't walk away. Paul didn't say, I'll tell you what, I'll see you later. No, what? Now, he was an apostle, and so he had some authority, and he told them what was wrong. But you know what he said at the end of that book in 1 Corinthians? He said, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. How about that? Now, that didn't mean he supported their imperfections. He rebuked them for their imperfections. But in the end, ladies and gentlemen, Paul had an abiding love for the people of God. The Apostle Paul saw a lot of hypocrisy. The Apostle Paul saw people that he invested in just turn around and walk off. But you know what? When they walked away from him, he didn't walk away from God. You know why? Because he knew that God had been better to him than anybody could ever be to him. Now, with all that being said, listen, if there are any of you today and you've experienced hurt and disappointment in a church context, I'm not here to tell you that your hurt is a figment of your imagination. I'm not here to tell you that your disappointment's not real, because I'm telling you, I'm not in your shoes. But I'm telling you this, don't make the mistake of letting the hypocrisy of professing believers cause you to walk away. But some people do. They're driven away by the hypocrisy and the hurt of others. I think when we see hypocrisy, and I think when we cause hurt, we ought to own it, we ought to confess it, and we ought to go forward in seeking to be more like our Lord. But don't you listen to the devil more than you listen to God. Here's another reason why people are walking away. They are more influenced by social media and entertainment than the Bible. Why are some people walking away from the faith today? Because they're more influenced by social media and entertainment than the Bible. What would happen if after church today, pastor said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let everybody take their phones and stand on the platform, and we're going to flash on the screen how much screen time you spent today. You say, he wouldn't do that. No, he wouldn't. And some of you said, and if he did, I'd not be back here. I'll be honest, it's none of my business. Although Apple knows all of your business. You know, there's nobody who probably hears more preaching than Siri. Because she hears everything. I want to be careful that she doesn't come on there. But let's be honest. Sometimes we have a greater eagerness to see a post. Used to call them tweets, now they're called posts. Or to see a picture. You know, and it's crazy because I'm so outdated in this. My daughter was telling me the other day of another platform that people use, and I'm like, I think it's called Be Real. You know, I was like, man alive, you know. I'm like, I'm old fogey. Those of you on Facebook here, you're just old timers. I know that was cutting edge at one time, but that's kids are like, oh, that's like a rotary dial phone. That's where they're at. But you know what? These apps are designed in such a way where you spend a short amount of time watching reels and everything else. And so often, you know what? Listen, you can watch reels of Hollywood movies. You can watch brief reels of sometimes innocent, clean things. You can watch reels of people that are griping and complaining, people giving product reviews. It's a million and one things. And you know what? I'm afraid that there are people that sometimes they fail to admit it, but they've been more influenced by their entertainment and their social media than the Bible. It's just a reality. But you know what I'm going to tell you? There's always been distractions. But they're so powerful in our day and time. Some people watch two YouTubers that say, you know what, we're leaving the faith. And they say, you know what, I think, well, they were good people. And if they're good people, I think, you know, I better think about this. It's at your fingertips. And you know what, a lot of the social media, they give these caricatures of Christianity that are not true. You know what a caricature is? Have you ever gone to like a fair or something? The Cleveland County Fair is coming up, I think. And, you know, you get a guy sometimes and he'll like draw. He'll draw a picture. And sometimes he draws a picture and it accentuates parts of your body that are distinguishing your features and it overemphasizes them. You know, when I was a kid, there for a while, my front two teeth just stuck out all the time because they were huge. You know, if they'd have drawn a caricature of me, it'd look like a buck-toothed person. There may be some of you here and maybe you have larger ears than normal. Now, they're not radar dishes. But they're larger than normal. And the guy who draws your caricature, sure enough, boy, you look like Dumbo in that picture. Now, we all laugh at that, you know, and we even pay people to draw pictures like that of us. Let me tell you, the world draws a caricature of Christianity, and sometimes it takes a difficult truth. Sometimes it takes an open hypocrisy, and it blows it up to try to distort your thinking. That's what happens. You know it. Listen, if you even halfway look at anything, you know what I'm saying is true. You know, you think about memes today. I mean, some of you, listen, if we looked in your phone, it'd be full of memes. This is not a message against memes, all right? There's a certain staff member, every time I see him, he's like, here, look at this. And I'm like, oh, that's good. But we're so used to communicating in those snippets. We're so used to communicating that way. And they're very memorable. They're very powerful. And you even have people today that just publish their testimonies of deconstruction for all of the world to hear. Listen to me. Don't you walk away from the faith because the world makes itself to appear some way on social media that it's not in reality. Why is it that some people walk away from the faith, they're influenced by social media and entertainment more than the Bible? But the last thing I would tell you, and this has, boy, been an age-old thing. You know why some people walk away from the faith? Because they trust their feelings over faith. Last night I was up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was pulling out these pork butts that we're going to eat today. And then there was an alarm went off at the school. I heard that, and so I ran over there. Well, by the time I got home, I couldn't go to bed. You could put a gun to my head, and I said, I'll just shoot me. I can't go to bed. But I was looking back at Genesis chapter 3. I was doing some reading. And back there in the garden, when Satan says, yea, hath God said, and then you find that Eve was tempted in the garden. The Bible says that she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was desired to make one wise. And I'm reading that passage and I'm like, wow. Right there in that one verse is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And thousands of years later, those same three things are vivid temptations. You know, it's just some things. It's just, it doesn't matter the age, the technology, the era. It's just true. And you know what? For centuries and for thousands of years, people have chosen sometimes to trust their feelings over their faith. I just feel strongly this way, and so therefore I'm going to act upon that feeling. Let me tell you something that you may not have thought of, but it's true. Christians can have feelings that contradict truth. I'm going to make it a little more personal. People in this room at times have feelings that contradict the truth. You're like, I don't think so. Yes, I know so. You ever drive on the interstate? 85? Through that long construction zone called Gaffney, Chesney, Greenville? During rush hour? You ever had feelings that contradicted the truth? Oh, the truth is, everybody in here, you have feelings at times. Sometimes you have urges, you have compulsions that contradict the truth. You ever heard somebody say figuratively, I could kill him? And you know that they wouldn't kill him, but they sure would beat him within a hair's breadth of death. You know what those are? Those are feelings. Those feelings contradict the truth. Sometimes you may have a feeling that contradicts the truth. And that's where we've got a lot of people today when it comes to arguing for human sexuality and gender identity. What is it? They talk about feelings. This is the way I feel. And listen, when I talk with, say, a person who has no Bible viewpoint, let's say they're not a Christian, I try to illustrate for them, you know, we have feelings sometimes that are not good. Let's just take it. Here you are. You have a wife or you have a girlfriend. If you have feelings that would cause you to be unfaithful, are those feelings right or wrong? And even some people that would not have the same moral compass as I would, and that the Bible, they just sort of, but even they would have to say there is something that sets the standard. And even by my own standard, yes, that's wrong. I shouldn't forsake that person. And there may be some of you, you feel strongly about things. Here's the key. Anytime you're going to make a major decision, anytime you're going to chart the direction of your life, there's only one standard that is unmoving. There's only one standard that is true, and it's not your feelings, but it's the Bible. That's where it's at. If you did what you felt all the time, you'd be in jail right now. And when it comes to God, if you do what you feel and you turn your back on the Bible, listen to me, it will only hurt you. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes I just need to take God's flashlight and shine it right there on my emotions to show me what's really there. Would you be willing to do that? You know, for those that may be here or under the sound of my voice listening to this today, Maybe there are some of you that are right now, you're examining your faith. Maybe there are some of you that were at a certain level and you find yourself going in reverse and you're like, man, I just don't know what to do. I want to close this lesson by telling you what to do. Now, we looked at John 6:66. I want you to now look to John 6:67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So when people walk away and you see that and you've been impacted by that, what is the answer? The answer is not to deconstruct. The answer is to reconstruct. You build on a good foundation. Jesus looked at those disciples and said, are you going to do the same thing? And Peter's like, where else do we have to go? Because we know that you're it. You're the Messiah, the Son of God. And that is the answer. Get your eyes off of man's flaws. Get your eyes off of the feelings that you have been so fed by social media and entertainment, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what you do. And you can be like the 11 that made it. Judas didn't. But those other 11, boy, I'll tell you what, they went through trials and testing, at times even doubting faith. But they made it. Because instead of following the world's plea to deconstruct and turn your back on the truth, they saw Jesus for who He was and they followed Him to the death. I hope as you've listened this morning, you understand there's a real danger to deconstruction. It's out there, it happens, and it happens in chairs just like these. But you know what? For every sad story, you'll find a good one. You do. You find people that turn their backs, but you find others that rediscover it, others that find it in more vivid color than ever before because they learn to look beyond these flaws and they learn to look beyond these things and to get their eyes where they needed to be. And would you let this morning be a part or be a day where you start building your faith instead of tearing it down? Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, as we close this time in prayer this morning, Lord, in a message like this, I pray that You do a very intimate work in hearts. Help us all to size up where we're at. Lord, I pray for the one here this morning that maybe they grew up hearing the gospel, and today they find themselves cold and indifferent. Lord, if it's because they never truly trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that God, You would grip their hearts in such a way today that they would come to Jesus. Lord, I pray for others that maybe they've had struggles, struggles that they would never talk to anybody else about, but Lord, they're there. God, would You grip their hearts today? Help them to see the answer. And to go from this day forward following You. Lord, we ask You to bless in the morning service to come and our fellowship at lunch and the afternoon service. We need You in each one. Thank You for our time together, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.